Oh, now when the Roosevelts came in 1936, Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt came. Of course, this was a very conservative, the residents of Winter Park were very conservative, dyed-in-the-wool Republicans, you know, who hated the name Roosevelt, you see. So when he finally worked out the date for the Roosevelts to come in March of 36. Now remember, that's just 4 years after Mrs. Warren had given the chapel. The chapel wasn't yet 4 years old, and Mrs. Warren lived here in the Virginia Inn, and Dr. Holt thought it would be a polite gesture to let Mrs. Warren know, be one of the first to know the date. So before he released it to the press, he invited her for lunch. Guess where? At the Whistling Kettle, the only place to take her out. I was one of those waiting on him. I can remember it just as vividly as this day. Hamilton Holt tried to lead up gently to Mrs. Warren, who was a wonderful woman, but nobody's fool. She was as wise as they come. And he was leading up gently to this subject. He said, "Hamilton, if you're about to tell me that the Roosevelts have accepted an invitation to come here, that you want to have the convocation in the chapel, don't forget, I gave that chapel to the college, not with any strings attached. It's for you to use as you see fit. So if that's the purpose of all this, you're wasting your time." And she said, "I just have one request. Don't ask me to be in town when those people are here, because I will not be here when they're in town." So she went off to Palm Beach and took a suite at the Breakers. And most of the people left town, most of the residents, Palmer Avenue. They just didn't want to be in the same town with the Roosevelt. And when they drove in the car, of course, the students for the office, the students were about equally divided between the pro-Roosevelt and the anti-Roosevelt, because what kept the college going during the Depression, regardless of what they tell you, was the wealthy families. It was always, in those days, is when it became known as a millionaire's hangout, that you have to have big money to send your daughter to Rollins College, most expensive college in the country, you know. And so they were, Hamilton Holt and others were doing everything they could to bring in poverty-struck students like, as I was, you know. But it was about evenly divided. It was wonderful. At least, I'd say 50% of the students must have been on large scholarships to make possible their being here. It was an interesting experience, all right. Well, now, when the Roosevelts came to town, I was waiting on table then at the Whistling Kettle, and it was the only catering service in town. And I think there was one in Orlando, but that was Orlando's, the other side of the tracks as far as Winter Park was concerned in those days. And that was a struggling city over there somewhere. But anyway, so Miss Lucy was asked to do the luncheon at Prexy's home. Do you know which house was his down on Interlochen? Beautiful white house, just immediately adjacent to the Methodist parking lot. You go down Interlochen on the right, you see the Methodist church on the left, and their big parking lot on the right. The house, beautiful big white house next to it, was the Hamilton Holt's home. We were to do the luncheon. We'd done many luncheons. It was just, in a way, just another luncheon. But Miss Lucy had a heart of gold, but she was as strict as they come, and she wanted to hold her waiters to the same high standard she held herself. And so we had a little pep talk. Now remember, just because these are known people, you're to give your full attention to serving them as waiters, and not to be gaping at them or anything like that. So we go over there, get the luncheon table all set up, this big long table, and I guess there were about not more than 18 or 20 to be there, and a cocktail period before the lunch, aperitif business. And there, Hamilton Holt with Franklin Roosevelt next to him, and Eleanor a chair across from them, in front of their fireplace. No fire, but in March. Anyway, and I was busy going back and forth with it, and said, "Oh, Jack, come here. I would like you to meet our guest." And so I thought, there's Miss Lucy in the dining room, you know, staring up. And so, of course, I go over and said, "This is one of our students, Franklin," and I shook hands. And then this is Mrs. Roosevelt. I shook hands with her. She said, "No, oh, Jack, what are you majoring in?" And I said, "Mrs. Roosevelt, I would love to talk to you, but I'm busy as a waiter." And so I said, "Miss Lucy," you know, so that was fine. So I went on about my business. And this is the interesting part of the story. At the end of serving that luncheon, an hour later, Mrs. Roosevelt got up and came over and said, "Jack, can you tell me now what you're majoring in?" And that was Mrs. Roosevelt, Eleanor Roosevelt. I don't think there's any greater woman in the Western world in the 20th century than that remarkable woman. And when she came back to speak later on, she remembered my name. That was when I was back as Dean of Admissions, over 10 years later. She remembered my name. She said, "I never knew your last name, but I know your name is Jack." And I said, "Yes, it's still my name, my nickname. What are you doing?" "Well, I'm the Dean of Admissions here." "Oh, how interesting." She said,